Welcome back to the Believe in Draft special. You got 12 minutes with Lo Neal and Matt Money Smith. It is now time to talk some Rams. Aaron Coscarelli with you, joined by former NFL offensive lineman who played seven seasons and now works as a color commentator for CBS Sports and Westwood One. Also the host of the famous Ross Tucker football podcast. Ross Tucker is here. How's it going, Ross? How you doing?
It's going awesome, yeah. Aaron. Good to see you again. Yeah. Good to talk with you and very, very excited for the draft. It's finally just about here. It's really weird. It's almost like I think the opening weekend of the NFL and the draft are the two things that we kind of talk about the most. Mm-hmm. Feels like we've been talking about the draft for months. Now after this, we'll start to talk about week one. And then it gets there, and then everything just happens so fast after that.
Yeah. Is this your favorite part of the season, except for, of course, week one when all things kick off?
It is. Yeah. And honestly, the draft, I mean, I don't like it more than the games, but it's close. I mean, you know, I'm one of probably the few players that even when I was playing, I'm into contracts. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like I've always liked the business side of things. I know a lot of people, that stuff bores them. In other words, Aaron, I would have rather tried to have been, if I went that route in the front office and be a GM than a coach. Mm-hmm. I like the money. I like the business. I like that part of it. I find it really interesting. So just all of the intrigue. Mm-hmm. I love college football. I do a bunch of college football games for CBS. So I love the marriage of college and the NFL. I love the intrigue. And it's also kind of like most people are not like 6'5 and they were 320 pounds, right? Like most people can't run a 4.3 40. I think most people think that they could be the person making the draft.
Yeah.
Like this is the part of the season where I think a lot of people, like, I mean, according to my buddies on text message, they're all way better than any GM that's so out funny. There right now. So I think that's part of what makes it so cool is seeing the trade, seeing who drafts who, but also just this notion that I could do that. I could do that part of it for the everyman.
Of course. It's why we love our mock drafts. It's why we love fantasy football. We think we can be a better GM than the GMs like Les Snead. And before we get into the draft, let's really quickly get your pulse check on where you're at with the Rams, right? Okay, the team went to the playoffs last year, but they've lost a couple coordinators. There's some new coaches in the locker room. They still have Matthew Stafford. Where are you at, Ross, when it comes to the Rams at the moment?
Very, very bullish. I thought last year was one of Sean McVay's best coaching jobs. I thought I can't remember where he finished in the coach of the year voting, but he absolutely deserved to be near the top. You know, I was using this line, Aaron, all season, and I think you'll appreciate this. The 1972 Dolphins, undefeated. They were known for their no-name defense, right? Their no-name defense. Well, last year, watching the Rams, they were the one-name defense. You know, it was Aaron Donald. I mean, for most fans, now I know Ernest Jones, and then obviously they had rookies like Byron Young and Kobe Turner play very well. But if you ask, like, I'm talking diehard football fans of other teams to name defensive players on the Rams, or even if you showed them the list of starters for the Rams, they really would have only known Aaron Donald. I mean, it was unbelievable to me that they played that well on that side of the football in particular with the one-name defense. And then offensively, especially with Cooper getting hurt and Kyron Williams in and out of the lineup, I was thoroughly impressed. I happened to be on the sideline for Westwood One for that Lions-Rams playoff game, which was awesome, by the way. Every aspect of it was awesome. And I just love Sean McVay. I love the offense. I love the way that they play. You know, I'm sitting there watching Aaron Puka Nacua come in motion and lead up through the hole on an ISO block on a linebacker and like smash him. I'm a Puka guy for life now. Any receiver that you can put up through the hole on a lead ISO block and he knocks down a linebacker, he's a made guy for me, right? So I need to do this, actually. This will be a good article this offseason for the 33rd team, like my 10 favorite players in the NFL, because Puka Nacua is absolutely one of them, because I just have a tremendous appreciation for the physicality that he brings to the game, the way that he plays. So I am bullish because they were very young last year. They exceeded everybody's expectations, mine included. They actually have draft picks. Do you guys even do this show other years? They didn't even have draft picks, you know, high picks other years. They actually have them this year. And so I'm fired up for the Rams because it really feels like they have a chance to build this thing off of what they did last year.
Well, you mentioned Puka Nacua. He was the 177th overall pick. And as we lean into now some draft talk with you, Ross, the one named defense now no longer has that one name on the team. So much talk has been made within the last couple of weeks. Peter Schrager's talking about it, that they're going offense. What do you see with that 19 overall pick?
Well, what I think about that is, I guess my question would be, if they go offense, where are they going? I mean, are they taking a left tackle or a tackle? I can see that, I guess, with Jackson and Noteboom, I believe, both in the last year of their deals. So I could see that. But I think they're in pretty good shape at receiver. Still can't believe Puka was drafted that late, as you just said, that number. That's wild. I don't think it's running back. I don't think it's tight end. I know there's been a little bit of chatter that maybe this would be a time that they could get a quarterback. That's not going to happen. I think there was going to be at least five quarterbacks to go off the board before the Rams even pick. So that would surprise me. So if they like one of the offensive tackles that's still on the board there, maybe Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, Amarius Mims from Georgia, maybe even some of these other guys are still on the board, surprisingly, I can see that. But otherwise, I really think that there's a lot of opportunity on defense, in particular still on the defensive line. I know they're excited about what Kobe Turner and Byron Young did last year, but I still think, I mean, they lost a heck of a player, and they could arguably get potentially the best D tackle in the draft in Byron Murphy from University of Texas, might still be there at 19 for them. I think that'd be really tough for them to pass up. When you lose a guy like Donald and everything he meant with the structure of the defense, to lose a guy that I'm not going to say Byron Murphy's Aaron Donald. I'm not going to ever say anybody is Aaron Donald, but I'll say this. He's a good player that happens to play the same position that Aaron Donald played.
You're an offensive guy. Sean's an offensive-minded coach. You're saying, let's, you know, real talk, spill the tea. If they went offense, would you be disappointed? You know, you mentioned obviously them needing or liking the idea of a tackle, which we'll get into Matthew Stafford in a moment. But your gut, your GM hat, if they went offense, you'd be bummed? Or it's if they went tackle, then you'd be okay?
Yeah, I wouldn't be bummed. I think I'd just be a little bit surprised. You know, when you go from a no-name or one-name defense to now a no-name defense, although obviously they have several guys over there that made names for themselves last year, I just think that that's the more likely scenario, especially, I guess, Aaron, when you consider there are people there that think the first 10 picks will be on offense. You know, certainly the first 7 picks appear to be locked in on the offensive side of the ball. You know, some people think maybe even the first 12 picks end up being on offense. If that's the case, I don't know. You know, are you better off getting the third defensive player off the board or the 16th offensive player off the board? I mean, you know, obviously you were talking about the individual players. The order in which they come off the board doesn't mean that much, but on some level you have to think that you're in a better position if you're getting these other guys off the board a little bit earlier. I would have no problem though with a tackle. I really wouldn't. You know, they made it pretty clear this offseason that they're prioritizing the offensive line, right? I mean, you give Dotson the deal that they did, and then to bring in Jonah Jackson, I think he was the highest paid guard in free agency, or him and Robert Hunt, you know, they made that a major, major priority. So if that's McVay's thinking, that offensive line is that important, and I think that they probably feel like they can get improved play at left tackle and have a long-term answer, depending on which guys are still available at 19, wouldn't surprise me and also wouldn't bother me. It's such an important position, and you need to have depth. I don't know how they feel about their depth right now at that position. I mean, looking at some of their backups, I know Logan Bruss has played a little bit, and obviously Noteboom's played quite a bit, but you know, they're a couple injuries away from being in a bad position.
Yeah, exactly. And that was going to be my next question. You know, if there's a couple guys, you know, not available on that offensive line, you know, are they still trying to figure out the right move since losing Andrew Whitworth there?
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, the fact that they've kind of gone back and forth between Noteboom and Alaric Jackson tells you, I don't know if they really feel like they have the answer at left tackle yet. And so if they have the chance to get a 5-year plus answer at left tackle, and some of these guys, I think that might be the beauty of it, Aaron, is that the guys that are likely to still be available when the Rams are selecting at 19, the aforementioned Amarius Mims, Tyler Guyton, you know, those are guys that have unbelievable physical ability, but they're inexperienced. They're a little bit raw. I kind of like the idea of getting them now while you still have Jackson and Noteboom on the last year of their deals. It gives you instant depth. Noteboom obviously can play some guard as well. And those guys can learn from Jackson. And maybe they're not ready week one. Maybe they're ready week six. Maybe it's week 12. I don't know. But you don't have to thrust them onto the field right away. It's not an absolute must need to start the year, but it's a need for the Rams, certainly in 2025 and beyond. And it's a potential position of improvement for them as well.
Before we wrap up the draft talk, and I want to get into Matthew Stafford in a moment, what are the things that you would like to see in terms of who the Rams draft, not necessarily specifically a player, but just positions of need? Because you were mentioning maybe a wide receiver, but do they need another wide receiver? Obviously, you mentioned left tackle. Like, what are the components you want to see them strengthen, hopefully on draft day? I think they have 11 total picks on amongst the 3 days.
That's a lot of picks.
Yeah.
And so I would imagine.
I think it's tied for the most.
Yeah, I think they'll take a receiver at some point for sure, because I think DeMarcus Robinson came back on a 1-year deal. You want to have 4 or 5 that you feel good about. They're certainly going to take an offensive lineman or two. It's just a matter of how high. You know, is there a quarterback that McVay likes that he wants to take a little bit later in the draft, maybe a Spencer Rattler or one of these other guys, you know, Michael Pratt from Tulane. I think that a lot of that depends on whatever Stetson Bennett's situation is, which I still, you know, have not gotten any clarity there. I don't know if anybody has. And then defense, they're going to hit it pretty hard. I mean, I think corner, safety, couple D linemen, linebacker. I mean, when you have 11 picks, you have the opportunity to really put a dent into the issues that any team could have with depth. Although I don't anticipate them necessarily making all 11 picks, I think Les Snead will be active moving up, moving down to get maybe the 8 or 9 guys they really want to make sure they get out of this draft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so interesting what they're going to do on that first day. They're so clever. You know, even some people are saying that Peter Schrager on the record guaranteed this is going to happen. Is that even a smoke screen with what he's saying? You just don't know. And they've done very well. They've hit some great home runs, as you've mentioned some names with regards to the draft in the past. I do want to talk about your opinion on Matthew Stafford. He's 36 years old, obviously shoring up that offensive line, making sure he's protected, giving him some time. There was also some talk about getting a Brock Bowers type of blocking tight end in the mix, although maybe that's not so much the case, although you've mentioned emulating the Lions draft, which I would like to get into that in a moment. But what's your take on the timetable for Matthew Stafford?
Yeah, I was thoroughly impressed by what Matthew did last year. I mean, they weren't always great at tackle. You know, Kyren Williams, I mentioned earlier, as well as Cooper Kupp, in and out of the lineup. Just very impressive that Matthew was able to really sustain that team, play as well as he did. You know, he's under contract through 2026. I would imagine he plays at least a couple more years, right? Plays this year, his age 36 season, his age 37 season, age 38 season. I'd be surprised if he called it quits before then, and it seems like he's still playing at a really high level. So I think both he and the Rams have at least a three-year window here, which makes it probably premature for them to go about sort of drafting his heir apparent or his replacement. I think that's more of a conversation for a year or two from now.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things you posted recently was how NFL teams are emulating Lions' success. And obviously the big picture perspective you were sharing was investing in the run game. Do you see, you know, lending itself to the Rams and the Rams' storylines, do you see, because obviously Sam Laporta was a big part of the tight end and giving Jared Goff some time, and maybe that might be something, I guess my question is, would the Rams try to emulate that, or are they just on a different strategy path? Because when people draft, do you think they draft for the division to stay and sort of, you know, go up against obviously their division rivals and like the 49ers and making sure they're drafting according to protecting themselves with weapons that like San Francisco has?
Well, so it's interesting. Clearly, the Rams feel like there's value in the run game, and they feel like there's value in the interior offensive line, which, by the way, Aaron, is really nice because when I played, I think guards, which is what I primarily played, I did have some starts at center as well, but I think guards were like the lowest paid position in the NFL. The thought process was like, oh, anybody can play guard. It's not that big a deal. Now, Landon Dickerson for the Eagles is getting $21 million a year to play guard. What a time to be alive.
How does that make you feel, by the way?
What's
How
that?
Does that make you feel, by the way?
It makes me feel like, A, I wish I'd been a better player, and B, I guess, born a little bit later. I mean, $21 million a year, nobody would ever hear from me again. I'd be like on my own island. It's unbelievable what these guys are getting. Now, good for them, by the way. Landon, I do the Eagles preseason games, and he's a terrific player and guy, so I'm happy for him. But it is just remarkable, the evolution of how teams feel about the interior offensive line. And the Rams kind of, as I mentioned earlier, were at the forefront of that. Now, you know, I think my point about the Lions, more than anything else, Aaron, was they took players at positions that a lot of teams aren't willing to do, right? They took a running back at 12. They took a linebacker off the ball, linebacker at 18. They took a tight end at 34. They took a safety nickel at, you know, in the 40s. I mean, the Lions... It was funny, Aaron, because they basically said, you know what? Let's just draft good players. You know, forget this positional value and it's got to be at a premium position. What if we just get four really good players who, by the way, all help us get to the NFC Championship game and they all were starters and really good players? That seems like a pretty good lesson for me, too, to just four guys to start for you as rookies and play at a high level. So I don't know. I think... the Rams, one thing I have a lot of respect for them for, and this is Kevin Demoff, the president or whatever his title is. This is obviously Les Snead. They are not afraid to zig while other people are zagging. I mean, just not ever having a first round pick. Everybody else is like stockpile picks and, you know, this and that. And the Rams are like, you know what? You don't know what's going to happen with a draft pick, especially a high one. And they're locked into a 4-year fully guaranteed deal. Why not get a guy that we know is a good player? Why not get Jalen Ramsey or Matthew Stafford or whoever? Why don't we get a guy that we know is a really good professional at a very important position? So we'll see how the impact that that has on their first-round pick. I don't think they're going to take a player at one of those positions, though. I think it'll be an offensive tackle or maybe a corner or a defensive lineman, which are probably considered, other than quarterback, the three most important premium positions.
I'm going to let you go soon, but really quickly, the possibility of a surprise from the Bears, because you on your X page share some very interesting, I highly recommend follow Ross on X. But Caleb Williams is like everyone's saying is a lock, but then you've got Jaden Daniels, JJ McCarthy. What are you thinking? Could we see a surprise at the number one overall pick on Thursday?
No. The Bears are taking Caleb Williams. My point is, I've talked to so many people, Aaron, on my show, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. I'm talking about Dan Orlovsky, Greg Cosell, most recently Chase Daniel, Lewis Riddick. And the way they talk about Jaden Daniels, you can tell they really, really like Jaden Daniels from LSU. So my point is, I'm just not convinced Caleb Williams is a better player than Jaden Daniels based on, you know, just hearing the reverence that these guys that really break down the quarterback video game after game, play after play, the way they talk about Jaden Daniels makes me think that perhaps he's the best quarterback in this. I don't study these guys like those guys do, but just listen to them talk. That's kind of what I've taken away.
Yeah. Interesting. I mean, it's so interesting to see how this is all going to play out during the season. Thank you for jumping on. I wanted to ask you really quickly, tell us a little bit about myfrontpagestory.com.
Well, they say, Aaron, a picture's worth 1,000 words. Aww. So that's what it looks like. Mother's Day is coming up in a couple weeks. It's by far the best Mother's Day gift I've ever heard of. You literally talk to a writer for, I don't know, 10 minutes, tell them how great your mom is or your wife, whoever. They write this awesome story. Looks like it's on the cover of the newspaper. You want to talk about stats, Aaron? I feel like next gen stats. I feel like there's a 90% chance whoever you get the story for, they will cry when they read the quotes about how amazing she is. MyFrontPageStory.com. Best Mother's Day gift ever. MyFrontPageStory.com.
Seriously, record the reaction also when you give this gift to your mom, because you know she's going to be just crying. So what a sweet gift. Thank you again, Ross, for joining us. I can't wait. Draft week is here. Maybe we'll catch up after the draft, okay?
Sounds great. Aaron, great to see you. Thanks for having
me. Thanks again. All right, a big thank you to Ross Tucker, the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It's so interesting. Everybody, has their perspective on Sean McVay and Les Snead and what they've been able to do in years past when it came to the draft. They've done very well, and now they have a lot of picks, 11. I think that's tied for the most in the NFL. So what are they going to do? Are they going to just pick at 8 or 9 solid guys like what Ross is saying, or are they going to use all 11 picks? Are they going to stay and pick at number 19? So many questions, not a lot of answers, but you're going to get your answers so soon, April 25th, just around the corner, draft day. That'll do it for us here for the Believe in Rams show. I'm Aaron Coscarelli. Of course, subscribe, comment, rate, follow this podcast. We'll see you soon. Thanks for joining.